Hi everyone, my name is Chris DeMars. I'm the Director of Systems Innovation at the Oregon Health Authority Transformation Center. And I'm here today to talk to you about the health system transformation efforts happening in Oregon and a specific piece of that called community advisory councils that are a promising model for connecting the healthcare system with community-based prevention strategies, kind of moving upstream to address the social determinants of health. So here's my disclaimer that I think everyone's supposed to have in their presentations. The following personal financial relationships are relevant. I have no relationships to disclose. So here's an overview of what I'm going to be talking about over the next 15 minutes. I'm going to give a really fast and quick overview of the health system transformation happening in Oregon right now. I'm going to talk to you about the community advisory councils and then kind of provide some lessons learned around how we are seeing that we can promote effectiveness within the CACs, the community advisory councils. So first, health system transformation in Oregon. The health system transformation efforts in Oregon have been going on for a number of years, probably about a decade, but in a really focused manner over the last 3 or 4 years. So in 2012, Oregon's previous governor, Dr. John Kitzhaber, worked with the Oregon legislature to get some state legislation passed to create kind of Oregon's version of a Medicaid accountable care organization. We call them coordinated care organizations. I'll be talking a lot about those in a little bit. In conjunction with that, we received an update to our 1115 waiver with the federal government through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that kept Oregon accountable to our CCO model. CCOs now exist in all throughout the state. There are 16 of them. They are partnerships between providers, risk-bearing entities, the community, former Medicaid managed care organizations that have come together and to provide care to the Medicaid population. All CCOs look different, quite frankly. If you have questions about them after the presentation, I'm happy to talk about them. They are all implementing the coordinated care model, which I'll talk about in the next slide. In that model, the vision is to start with the Medicaid population, but to spread that beyond Medicaid. I'll also just quickly mention that we have a state innovation model grant, as was said during the presentation, my introduction. I am the principal investigator for that. It funds the Transformation Center, which I also run, which is Oregon's our hub for health system innovation and improvement for health system reform efforts. So what this slide basically shows you is a before and after, kind of how Medicaid members received their care before and after CCOs were in place. With CCOs, the financing has really changed. So CCOs receive what's called a global budget for the physical, mental health, and oral health care that's provided to Medicaid members. So as opposed to the fee-for-service method that's used, oftentimes the global budget kind of provides the upfront payment that CCOs can then use in whatever way they want to. Well, not whatever, it has to follow obviously CMS rules, but they have a lot of flexibility around how they can use those global budget dollars. In accordance with our agreement with the federal government, the waiver I mentioned earlier, we need to keep our costs down. So our cost growth was at 5.4% a year in the Medicaid program. We had to keep that down by knock that down by 2 percentage points, so we have to keep it at a 3.4% increase. CCOs are accountable for metrics, kind of outcomes of for their members. So while they receive this global budget, they can do with that. Like I said, they have a lot of flexibility with how they use those dollars, but there is a certain percentage of their global budget that's pulled out. It was 1% the first year, 2% the second year, 3% this year. And they have to meet certain measures or outcomes to get that money back. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that in its relationship with population health. There's a really innovative component of Oregon CCO's payments. It's called flexible services, and these are services that are outside the traditional medical care system. They're not Medicaid, kind of traditional Medicaid state plan covered services. There's things like shoes, exercise classes, home improvements, air conditioners, kind of the kind of moving more upstream, and that's another key thing I want to make sure you all knew about. And then lastly, I'll be talking a lot more about the kind of community health assessment, community health improvement plan, and the local accountability next. This slide just gives you the map of Oregon and shows you how kind of the CCOs are very, very different even geographically. So one CCO is the entire eastern part of the state, rural part of the state, Eastern Oregon CCO. Most part of the states just have one CCO, but in the Portland area, which is in the north, kind of west there, and in the southern part, there are overlapping CCOs. So the early successes so far are really promising. All CCOs are staying within that global budget, that 3.4% growth. Some of the metrics that we have are showing that emergency department visits are significantly have decreased since 2011 baseline year, 22% decrease in ER visits since then. We've seen decreases in hospitalization for chronic conditions such as for diabetes, it's a 27% decrease for those since 2011. And we're seeing a strong increase in primary care. Our version of the primary care medical home, we call it the patient center primary care home. There's been a 56% increase in those. And then just the use of primary care by Medicaid members has gone up. So community advisory councils, like I said, is one kind of key component of our health system transformation model I want to talk about today. So every CCO is required to have a community advisory council. It is a body that is comprised of at least 50% Medicaid members. The rest need to be from local public health, social service organizations, local mental health organizations. And their purpose is to ensure that the healthcare needs of the consumers and the community are being addressed by the CCOs. And that's a really important piece. And what's in quotes up here is from the actual statute, from the legislation. The community piece is very unique from a health system perspective, especially from a federal government, that the CACs are kind of responsible to have that community perspective. You also see here that they have, were required to develop a community health assessment and a community health improvement plan to address health disparities and meet the needs for the communities that the CCOs are in. The Transformation Center was responsible for reviewing the community health improvement plans that were due last June of 2014. And what we found is well over half of the priorities that were identified in those CHIPs were kind of looking upstream, more social determinants of health and focused on health equity. And then what you see underneath this is many CACs have already started to lead kind of community-based initiatives through their CCOs. So I'll just touch on four of those. One is in kind of Central Oregon, the Gorge area, northern central area. It's a partnership between the CCO called Trillium CCO and the Meals on Wheels program provides meals to any Medicaid member, not just older folks, which is the traditional Meals on Wheels model, but any Medicaid member discharged from the hospital, and that CCO has found no readmissions, and that the members kind of getting that companionship has really, their hypothesis is helped prevent those readmissions from happening. Another is in the far southeast corner of Oregon. There's the CCO there, through their community needs assessment, identified a need for the Latino population, especially the Latino youth, that there wasn't enough culturally competent care being delivered, and so they have put a community health worker in the local school. And this community health worker, you know, supports everyone, not just all students there, not just the Medicaid members there, and provides lots of supports, connections with primary care, and for a one parenting team, connecting with housing. Kind of that's an exciting program. Another one is in the Portland metro area, and the largest CCO there, called Health Share of Oregon, has put public health nurses in a housing, low-income housing setting, and that nurse provides chronic disease self-management programs for that the folks that live there. And then finally, another CCO, as a result of their community health improvement plan, the CAC is running a community education series called The Amazing Brain, which is promoting mental health and resiliency in the community. So I mentioned before, I told you about the metrics kind of that CCOs are responsible for. When the metrics were first developed, there were and still are 17 of them, And those metrics were focused more on clinical measures. And now the metrics are changing over time. And so now they, just this past year and next year, you see the four new ones that are coming up. So we've had dental sealants and effective contraceptive use. And then next year, tobacco use prevalence and immunization rate. And what we have seen is CCOs are really, really focused on getting that money back that's pulled out of their global budgets. And CACs are going to be even more kind of important in helping the CCOs kind of connect with community partners on metrics such as the tobacco cessation one in particular. So I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to kind of go through these slides faster than I had planned to. But basically what we're finding is while the CAC model is really a promising one, CACs differ from CCO to CCO. Many Medicaid members have not participated in an advisory council like this before, and so what CCOs are finding is they often need support around a kind of the whole gamut. So just getting especially the Medicaid members to agree to participate, kind of that outreach is really key. Orientation, some CCOs have gone through, developed a CAC 101 to help CAC members kind of understand the health system and the acronyms and the lingo. Retaining CAC members is also key. CCOs are pay for meals sometimes, they pay for travel, pay for childcare. The CACs need to receive training, everything from subject matter expertise to how to run and participate in effective meetings. At the Transformation Center where I work, we host a learning collaborative for CACs, and we provide training in all of these areas and more. What we found is for CACs to be really successful, all CAC members need to feel engaged. And I participated in a meeting, really successful CCO. I'll be having a few slides on it in a second here. Everyone participated. The Medicaid members' voices were just as important as the local public health and kind of housing representatives at the table. When CACs have built-in connections with the leadership at the CCOs, it's also can make their kind of make them more effective and make that connection more powerful. Most CCOs have a CAC representative that sits on the governance board, but we're finding is some of them have two or three. Some of them, the CCO leadership or CEO goes to the CAC meetings. Also, to have a purpose beyond the CHIP, in the legislation, the CHIP was the main kind of outcome from the CAC. When there are some CCOs that have given the CACs a portion of that global budget money and given them control over some programs, like I mentioned before. So when they have that kind of leadership and can kind of manage population health programs, we're seeing they're more effective. So this, just in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. I have two slides on this, but bottom line is Trillium CCO. It's in Lane County. That CCO has a partnership with the local public health department, provides $1.33 per member per month to public health for prevention programs. So a really exciting partnership in itself. The CAC is responsible for recommending how those dollars are used, and they use the CHIP to kind of guide that. So their kind of CHIP priorities were around obesity, tobacco use, and mental health, and so that's kind of the programs that they have recommended are used $1.33 per member per month is used for. This is kind of reiterates to give some more specific examples of what I said earlier about effective CACs. So just kind of in closing here, the Transformation Center, we hosted a summit for all the CACs, brought together, I think, 150 people from across the state in June. And in preparation for that, we asked, kind of put out a survey and asked what helps you stay engaged in your CAC. And I just have found some of these quotes, the answers really promising and kind of inspiring. I thought I'd share, have a few slides on this. So what I see here is just a lot of the importance of collaboration to the CAC members. What you see on this slide, especially that middle one, is like, I love we've had conversations between social service agencies, primary care, CCO members, and schools. I mean, these conversations really weren't happening before in the same kind of way they are happening now, so that's very encouraging. And then this slide, kind of there, you see the word community there a number of times. I think the sense of community that's being enhanced or supported through the CACs is also a promising outcome from them. So in conclusion, what we found in Oregon is that through our health system transformation efforts, there is this new table, a few years old now, where representatives from organizations from varying parts of the system that keeps us healthy, the medical care system, and then looking very much upstream, are all sitting together. But in order to promote CAC's effectiveness, they do need support. These are new bodies. Many of the folks on them have not participated in such an advisory body before, and so support is needed. And finally, I'd just say that we feel that it's a promising model that other health systems and Medicaid programs could consider adopting. So here's some information if you want more, some websites if you want for more information. You see my email address there, and two websites for the Oregon kind of health system transformation. And the final website is kind of CAC 101 that Transformation Center develops for all the CACs to use in their orientation of their CAC members. Thank you very much.